Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva, participating physician and associate vice president of clinical resources at Vizient. On this episode, we'll discuss the new program to administer stress first aid to healthcare workers. We'll define what we mean by that and describe the program. A joint effort between RAND Corporation, Vizient, and Clinical Directors Network. Joining me is Dr. Courtney Gudengel. Courtney, tell us a little bit about your background and the various roles you have currently.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So I wear quite a few hats.
Yeah.
I'm a senior physician policy researcher at the RAND Corporation, which is a nonprofit policy think tank. And I also serve as the director of our Boston office. So I'm in the Boston location. The research I do there centers around how to improve the quality and safety of healthcare. And usually I focus on vaccines, public health preparedness. So that's all come in very handy. And now workforce well-being. I also continue to practice clinically in infectious diseases at Boston Children's Hospital part of the time.
Thank you so much for joining us. So let's level set. First, what exactly is stress first aid? Define the concept in a nutshell.
Sure. So the idea of stress first aid is that it's intended to support workers who are in high-risk occupations, such as healthcare workers during a pandemic, who are facing ongoing, more chronic workplace stressors. So it's not exactly intended for an acute event that just lasts a few days. It's really intended and actually ideally suited to something like the COVID-19 pandemic. And you can basically think of it as a framework that will improve recovery from stress reactions as a result of things like a pandemic. It's evidence-informed. It was developed actually for the U.S. military and tested there, but not formally evaluated for healthcare workers. But it's a set of very simple sort of first aid type tools that you learn to easily call up and use to help mitigate some chronic stress that builds up over time at work. And the core points are to really reduce the stigma of these stressors by changing the culture of the workplace, creating a common language to address stress so that healthcare workers or colleagues, peers are using the same language to express how they feel and to support each other, ideally to address stress reactions before they create significant problems, and then ultimately to foster people's happiness in their roles as healthcare workers and foster longevity as well.
So can you explain how the COVID pandemic actually has done to create even more stress for many of our healthcare professionals, if you will?
There's just been so many aspects to the stress, I think, that healthcare workers have been under. First, there's the stress and uncertainty that I think everyone really around the world has faced from the pandemic. So some social isolation, disruption to the usual activities that we might undertake for self-care or to sort of recover outside of work, and economic uncertainties, the fear of becoming sick. But healthcare workers had to continue to go to work every day in the face of a lot of uncertainty about this emerging infectious disease that was fairly mysterious early on, a lot of uncertainty about what the actual risks were of the disease, how it exactly spreads. The risk, especially of bringing it home to loved ones, was a huge stressor, especially early on. And then, of course, that was not helped by the fact that in a lot of places, there was not enough personal protective equipment, PPE, for sometimes pretty prolonged periods that waxed and waned. In addition to PPE, sometimes inadequate staffing, either due to illness or people calling out, inadequate supplies to safely care for patients. And then, of course, in areas that had really bad surges, there were just really difficult healthcare medical choices to be made for patients, often resulting in what we call moral injury to healthcare workers, where they were placed in very difficult ethical positions with regards to allocating resources to patients who would get an ICU bed, who would be intubated. And then the patient care itself wasn't really normal. So many more deaths than we would normally see, and also occurring in very difficult and distressing ways. So usually patients can be with their families the majority of the time. And I'm sure we've all heard countless stories of healthcare workers who sat with patients as they died or did their best to keep their patients and families connected via screens, which doesn't feel great, just not adequate to that task. And then again, more context is that we already knew that healthcare workers were suffering a lot of burnout even pre-pandemic. So this is already a workforce that was struggling in some ways and who have become increasingly mentally and physically exhausted as the pandemic has worn on, I think, even longer than people anticipated initially.
You know, you brought up lots of great points of how we've been dealing with resilience among healthcare professionals. But let's be honest, there's actually a huge deficiency in behavioral health specialists out there. And among those that don't do it, they're intimidated by it. So do you have to have experience or even a resource in behavioral health to actually apply a stress first aid?
Well, that's one of the big benefits of stress first aid. It's not intended to replace formal mental or behavioral health care. In a nutshell, it's intended to prevent people from getting to that stressed state where they really need that formal higher level of care. So it relies on peer-to-peer training, which is beneficial for a few reasons. So one, as you mentioned, was that shortage of trained mental health care professionals. Again, not intended to replace that care, but it is nice to be able to leverage those really strong peer-to-peer connections that tend to exist in healthcare. It also mitigate some of the stigma around seeking out mental or behavioral health care. So a lot of people don't feel comfortable sharing their stressors. There's also the concern sometimes with certification and licensure that people don't want to seek care because they're worried that they will have to disclose that, even though I know a lot of groups are working to change that. And then in terms of other differences with mental or behavioral formal health care, this really, again, relies on the importance of co-worker support and takes advantage of the fact, as I mentioned, that we have these close relationships that exist. And there's a lot of unspoken understandings that come up from working together as closely as healthcare workers do, and particularly during this pandemic. And it takes advantage of those sort of moment-to-moment times and encounters when the right support really can happen to make a difference in terms of mitigating people's stress, as long as we can all become open to how to speak to each other during those times and support each other.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, you don't need to be a behavioral health specialist. This is actually giving resources among peers to actually identify where another peer may be having some stress or is having issues, and a way to intervene and help that peer seek help, if you will, or even deal with the situation.
That's right.
So you're involved with Vizient in a project to actually expand this and take it to scale to many of our members across the country. Can you describe the project we're involved with and address its challenges?
Yeah, so we were funded at the RAND Corporation by the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute, known as PCORI, which is funded with federal money. And we were funded to actually use stress first aid in hospitals and clinics, but even more importantly, to study it, to understand how well it works for healthcare workers because it had not been used in this population before, and then learn how we could improve it and tailor it as needed. And so, yes, we are working with Vizient as well as some other partners. And what we're doing is recruiting hospitals and clinics into matched pairs, and the two sites in a pair would ideally be similar based on their hospital or clinic type, how many beds they have or patients they serve, rough COVID rates and region. And then within each pair, one of the sites is randomized to the intervention, which is stress first aid that we've been talking about. And then the other site just continues on with their usual care, but they're asked to do some selected surveys and interviews. And then that intervention site, the one that is assigned to stress first aid, they identify what we call a site champion. And that champion's role is to be trained in stress first aid by actually the creator of stress first aid. And then that champion goes back to their site and they train their healthcare worker teams and peers, whichever team has been chosen for the intervention. And we do ask that in hospitals, the intervention hospital can choose whichever team or unit they want, but we really encourage choosing a team or unit, again, to take advantage of those peer-to-peer relationships that exist.
So what's the goal of the project?
Well, so we are trying to basically test how effective stress first aid is versus whatever usual care is going on, so we can understand what the benefits are and provide information to hospitals or clinics that are interested in it, and also to understand how we can improve it to make it even more effective. We also want to understand and document what are the usual care activities that are going on. So a lot of hospitals and clinics and healthcare organizations in general have invested in different programs to support healthcare workers' well-being. So they're allowed to continue those if they are not randomized to the intervention. If they're in the intervention, they can continue them as long as it's not a conflict with stress first aid. But we want to understand the landscape of what's going on and how effective those are, how they might work with stress first aid, where they're not working and why. And then, of course, we want to hear firsthand from healthcare workers what their experiences are like with stress first aid.
That's the end of this episode. Next week, we'll resume our discussion on stress first aid. Please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. And also, please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast and the latest of healthcare strategy. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.